Even in more normal conditions of war, when Harris had had time to make plans and go over them with her crew, the last hours before combat always seemed to telescope, accelerating toward them in a way that the physicists said didn't make sense. This was far worse. A change of command so close to battle was tricky at best, when it resulted from a captain's sudden illness or other emergency. She had not had time to gain the crew's confidence. She had not had time to assess their competence, their readiness for combat. The normal thing to do, the textbook thing to do, was get out fast and get help. She had no orders to defend Xavier. She was clearly outnumbered. The loyalty of her crews was questionable. Or if she chose to stay, it would be prudent to send the yacht with its civilians. It could reach a safe jump radius and time to get away, long before an attack could reach it, and go back to a fleet sector headquarters and report. If the Benignity invaders hadn't mined the nearest jump point insertions, they could have, and that could be the reason for the gap in the financial Ansible's transmissions. Many communications nodes for Ansible transmission were located near jump points for ease of maintenance and repair. She had an uneasy feeling about the jump points.
I have complete confidence in your judgment.
Her Aunt Admiral had said that. Her aunt, who had not commented on her performance since the Academy. What did complete confidence mean in a situation like this? Would her aunt back whatever decision she made? Or did her aunt really think she had some special ability to choose the best course of action? She could not let any of these thoughts interfere with her concentration. The only plans she had were hasty improvisations. Very well, that beat no plans at all. As far as her officers could tell, her plans came down from the Admiralty. That the plans were in direct defiance of common sense wouldn't bother them over much. It wasn't their judgment on the line. If the message capsule she'd sent reached the fleet relay Ansible, if no one was suppressing such messages, someone would eventually consider her judgment, her decision to stay, her choice of tactics. With luck, they might even get help before the Benignity blew them away.
What we've got is a very unorthodox force for defending an inhabited planet.
Her senior officers knew that, but they needed to hear the obvious from her, at least at the beginning.
One cruiser, one patrol craft, one armed yacht, one very ancient Demoiselle-class escort, three atmospheric shuttles, one of them armed with phase cannon, inadequately mounted but perhaps good for a single round, assuming a suicidal crew.
Phase cannon in a shuttle?
It's what they had. It's never been fired, of course. We've warned them. It would take weeks of refitting to strengthen the mounts, and we don't have that time. Grogon is supposedly hyper-capable, but I don't trust its FTL generator, and neither did my engineers when they inspected it. The yacht is, of course, and it's carrying substantial weaponry for its hull.
Harris pulled up the display and pointed it out.
But the trade-off there was on shields. She has only her light-duty civilian screen shields. Nothing else in the system is hyper-capable. The mining colonies have little shuttles and one ore carrier. It's a big hull, but it's underpowered. And no weapons.
Major Tinsey was on the tight beam from Paradox.
So, what's our plan?
Harassment with deception. We don't have real surprise because of Hearn on Despite, but she didn't know about everything. Unless we're extremely lucky, we won't destroy the incoming ships, or even deflect them permanently. But we probably can delay their attack on the planet itself by making them unsure of how many of us there are. Even if they never use the phase cannon, for instance, they'll light up someone else's weapon scans. So will old Grogon.
Something else nagged at her memory and finally broke through. She called Kutsudis into the conference line.
Did Levati falsify his ID at the commercial level that time when he hailed us with the wrong name?
You saw through it.
Yes, but we had military scan, as you know. I didn't bother to check what a commercial scan would have shown. How did you do it? How long does it take? And could you have falsified your beacon to military scanning?
It's pretty simple. It's all in knowing how. It takes maybe an hour or two, that's all. Yeah, you could do it for both kinds of beacon transmissions. Of course, it's illegal. Captain Levati didn't want anyone in fleet to mistake him.
I'm sure. Could you do it for this ship?
Well, yes. Why?
Oblo has installed two different fake beacon IDs in the yacht. If we could patch something up for this ship and Paradox, we could give the Benignity something to think about.
We still only have two real warships.
But they don't know that. They know despite said that, running away, which can't have been the plan. They were expecting Garavay and friends to be here, welcoming them in. They probably had a name, possibly even a familiar contact. They drop out of FTL and find one of their expected allies fleeing, telling them not to worry, there's only a single cruiser in patrol. Would you believe that if you were a CH captain?
No, I wouldn't. I'd think double-cross. The conspirators discovered betrayal. Something like that, anyway.
Right. Is this a hands-on patch, or can you explain to Paradox how to change their beacon, too? I want both ships to be able to switch back and forth.
It's doable, but it doesn't change the basic scan. Nothing's going to convince them that there's more ships if the beacon data on a mass point suddenly changes.
And don't worry about that. Just get hold of Oblo, and the two of you give us some fake identities that would hold up to fleet standards. I have an idea.
Harris had more than one. Ideas flickered through her mind almost too fast to see. Off to one side, she imagined the Benignity Formation Commander. He would be one of their elder sons, equivalent to the RSS Admiral Minor. Hearn's message would make him bunch his formation, counting on its weight of weapons and numerical superiority, as long as he found what he expected. A cruiser smaller than any of his ships, a patrol ship, a lightly armed yacht, and a slow-moving, nearly toothless scow. But if the scan data didn't fit, or worse, if it was inconsistent, suggesting that Hearn had lied, he would hesitate, pause behind his screening barrage, and prepare for a more extended combat. He might even be unwise enough to detach a ship or two. If each of her three ships could appear to be one or two other ships, and if she could use the Benignity's barrage as a screen for her own movements...
We could fake some beacons as well. Launch them.
Harris nodded. She hadn't expected Tinsey to show that much imagination.
No mass readings. It won't fool him for more than a few seconds.
If we could get mass?
Another glimmer of an idea. Xavier's system wasn't overly full of handy rocks the right size, but those shuttles, loaded with anything massive from the station and with faked beacons, might distract the Compassionate Hand commander.
You and Oblo get on it, Kutsudas. We need it done before their scan's clear from jump insert.
Yes, sir.
Harris looked around at the others and saw thoughtful looks, only the reasonable amount of tension.
Let's get going.
When she reached the bridge, Kutsudas waved her over. He had the first reasonably detailed scans of the arriving force.
They're sticking to normal tactics, throwing out a screening barrage on jump exit. It'll have tags keyed into their IDs, coming on in a clump.
When will they have scan return?
Normally. A solid 12 hours after jump exit, and that's with efficient boosts. They exited 8 to 9 hours ago, so that means we have 3 blind hours for certain. But with despite signal, if they picked it up...
They'll have a lot more detail than the best scans would give them. Current ship IDs, but not everything.
I'm getting some separation in that clump, though. Looks like one or two may be trailing back a bit farther than normal.
Jump exit error?
Could be. I'll stay on it.